Welcome to the Strongsville United Methodist Church podcast for Sunday, July 31st. Matt Wisenhunt, our youth director, introduced us to our new six-week sermon series on Ecclesiastes. He spoke of how wisdom is seeing people, circumstances, and situations as God sees them, and said that we need to hunger for wisdom, that it's ours for the taking. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him."
Many of you, most of you would know our youth director, Matt. He's going to be offering the message. I heard Jen was speaking. I said, I want no part of speaking after she's done. So Matt actually just whispered to me that he quit. Thanks, Jen, for that. Might be a really fast rest of the Sunday, but just a special Sunday. Isn't it just good to be together? And really grateful for Matt and the gifts he brings to it. You're going to be blessed still. The best still might be yet to come. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks. Jen, the whole slip and slide thing. So what you don't know is that like a lot of people resonate your pain. I've seen literal bruises from that slip and slide. I talked to the guy who set it up. He wanted to let you know that it was actually Brian Sheets' idea from years ago. All right? No, for real, though. For real. So just remember that. Not me. So thank you. Good morning. We are starting a six-week series on the study of the book of Ecclesiastes, which we're going to get into in a minute. But I'd like to start you off with some different imagery, if you will. If any of you are familiar with the International Space Station, it hovers 220 miles above our Earth, and it just goes around and around the Earth as we go around and around the sun. But what's cool about the International Space Station, as I saw in a documentary, is that there is a room on that space station. It is an Italian word, and it is called the cupola. All right, that is Italian for dome, which is fitting because it's a dome. And it is equipped with six windows around it to give astronauts a 360-degree view of space. And it also has a window, a circular window on top. So when an astronaut is in this room, they can see what is happening in all directions around the space station. They can see how the docking is going for resupply and fuel and all those things. And they also get one of the best views of the Earth. They can be in this room and see the Earth zipping by. And in this documentary I watched, they talked a little bit about what they see. And they see things like the drought in California. It's been going on for a couple years. So what they see is the actual land in the whole state. It just gets more and more brown as time goes by. They could see that from up there. And they can look down near the equator, and they can watch plumes of smoke come out of the rainforest as they burn and cut the rainforest and clear that land. They watch that happen from way up above. And they said they can't see any borders between countries or states or anything like that, aside from rivers, of course. But the one man-made border they can see is actually at night. They can see the difference between North Korea and South Korea because the border is well lit. And South Korea is bright, and it has cities, and it has all kinds of different roads. And North Korea is dark. They can't see anything. So it's a very distinct difference that they can see from up there. And I went onto a website to kind of like read about what astronauts have said about this view, being able to be in space, way back in space, and see the Earth below. And I came across, like no joke, a list of like 200 quotes from different astronauts who have been changed by this view in one way or another. And I've printed them off, and I'm going to read them to you this morning. I'm not going to read them to you this morning. I will just summarize and tell you that these people that have had a view in some way of the Earth from far away in space, be it from the moon or from the space station or orbiting, they become changed by this view. They say they've gone up as scientists and have come back down as humanitarians because this view of the Earth has altered them. It has in one way or another transformed how they view everything because they got to see everything. It's pretty crazy. It's like this view of the earth from space is the most comprehensive, yet like inclusive view of earth you can have. And that's saying a lot. And I think a view like that is similar to how God sees all people and all situations and all circumstances. He's able to be really far back so he can see what's going on. What's interesting, though, is that in being so far back and seeing everything that's going on with people and with situations and circumstances, it allows him to be perfectly intimate. It allows him to be perfectly involved and close. And to me, I think that's a good image. I think that's a good way of explaining how wisdom works. Wisdom being able to see people and situations and circumstances as God sees those things. You see, wisdom isn't knowing everything. Wisdom is more like knowing how everything is connected to each other. You know, wisdom's not offering advice. Wisdom's more like understanding how everything works and then offering somebody a glimpse at those systems and operations. There is one more image I'd like to give you really quick. Now, you see, if I took my kids, hypothetically, up to space, and we sat in this cupola room, and I said, boys, I want you to look down at that earth. Isn't it amazing? You know what they'd say? They'd say, I'm hungry. When can we eat? And I'll tell you why they'd say that. It's because they've never, like, really known maps. They haven't learned about history. They don't know about countries' relations, and they haven't studied astronomy. Like, they can't fully appreciate that view for what it's worth because they're just not ready. Just like if I said, boys, we're going to talk about the purpose and meaning of humankind, where we began and why we were created. They wouldn't get it. They wouldn't care because they're not ready for it. But you are ready for it. You are ready for it because they haven't been tested and been hurt and been loved and seen, but you have. That's why this invitation into the study of wisdom in Ecclesiastes is for you and for me and for all of us, because you are ready. So when we're talking about wisdom, we're talking about specifically the five books kind of in the middle of our Bible that are known as wisdom literature. And in the wisdom literature, you have Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. And those five books are kind of, well, they're called the wisdom literature because they have, they raise and they discuss existential questions about God, about creation, about humanity, about the nature of suffering. They bring up and discuss all those things. Ecclesiastes specifically, which is the book we're going to be discussing for the next 6 weeks, Ecclesiastes is very philosophical, very reflective. It begs a lot of questions. The writer of Ecclesiastes really questions what he thought he knew. Kind of like a first-year college student going off. Gives you that moment where you're like, what is life anymore? That existential moment. Or like I was telling somebody else, and he goes, oh yeah, it's kind of like a midlife crisis in a way. Yeah, so you kind of get the idea. Everybody has these moments where they step back and they start to question what they thought they always knew to be true. And that's what Ecclesiastes does. The writer is questioning and thinking about what he thought and assumed to be true. My new favorite Bible verse, passage, comes from Proverbs 3. By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. It's my new favorite passage. I just found it in preparing for this, this meditation. And I'll tell you why it's my new favorite. Because I feel like the writer of that is telling you that it was the mind of God that set into motion everything that we can sense, feel, and experience. Everything you can touch, everything you could taste, everything you could smell, came from the actual mind of a creator. All of that is encompassed in his wisdom and his understanding. That also tells me that all of creation is somehow interconnected and related and leans on each other. Bad example, but I'm going to do it anyway. Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. The philosopher Forrest Gump is, what he's saying is, he's saying you just can't know the future. You just can't. You can't know it any more than you know about what candy treat you're going to get next without the little diagram on the box top. It's as impossible to predict as to predict the inside of that chewy chocolate. And so what he's saying is saying, like, these two things, which are pretty much unrelated, life and chocolate, have a lot in common. They could tell you a little bit about each other because they have some relation. Because the same wisdom that created the box of chocolate was the same wisdom that creates the future. So it's related. It's kind of like how Jesus says, I'm a shepherd and you are my sheep. He is trying to explain that the care a shepherd has for his sheep, that the love a shepherd pays to his sheep, is the same kind of love and affection and intimacy that I have for you. So you got chocolate, and you got the future, and you've got Jesus, and you got sheep, and us, and all of these things were created by the same mind, so they have the same principles that dictate them and hold them together. That's deep. That's kind of ambiguous, but in order to make it more applicable, I got this. This is, I'm borrowing from an example I saw in college, okay? Which pair first? Here we go. All right, so these are glasses. They're not my glasses. They're from the Lost and Found, so you can claim them after the 11:05 because I'm going to need them again. when I put these glasses on, I see the world differently, right? I see it blurry. It's like one of those things, when you put on someone's glasses, you get a headache. That's happening to me right now. So I'm going to put those right down here. These may be near or far-sighted glasses, I don't know, but what they do is they reorient the perspective to make it more viewable for the viewer, right? Not for me, but I look like a college professor with those. This is protective eyewear. The purpose of these glasses is to, you know, make sure that, like, wood chips and dust and things that I'm working on, if I'm doing a project in my garage, don't get in my eye, okay? I can see clearly out of them. But they're like sealed here and they're wide and protective eyewear, right? These bad boys have been with me for a long time. They're like all broken and everything, but these are aviator sunglasses that I think I took from somebody at some point in college. And what they do, these are aviators, so they're specifically designed to keep the sun out from a wide area. So like when I'm flying my plane into the sunset, I'm not blinded by everything. Okay, so that's just a real wide, and there's a tint. The world looks different here as it does here. You feel me? All right? I got one more. These are a treat. These are also from the Lost and Found. I promise these aren't mine. These are not just tinted. The world doesn't look just purple in these glasses. These are bifocals. So I can, like, look down, or however bifocals work, and I can, like, see things close up. Okay? They take the world through the lens, and they change it for my eyes. You see what I'm saying? Here's the thing, though. Everybody, all of us, and you and me, and nobody is excluded. We all wear some type of lens or glasses to interpret the world through, okay? And your particular lens, your particular prescription, if you will, prescription of glasses, I didn't say subscription, so. Your particular prescription of glasses is made up by a number of things. Let me run through them. You have your family history, your race, your nationality, your education, your personal experiences, your friends, literature, media, and a number of other things make up your personal lenses through which you see the world. And if you notice, a couple of those things on there are like with you when you're born. You're born with certain qualities. And some of those things you pick up along the way, like a nurture and a nature thing, okay? So some of them are environmental, and some of them are given to you genetically. Either way, you see the world through those things. No one is excluded or exempt from wearing glasses. So when something like the NBA Finals is on and you see Steph Curry get frustrated and throw a mouth guard, you see that event differently than somebody on the West Coast. They see a horrible injustice and an atrocity, and we see something that somebody deserved and they should get more. Seriously, right? All right, you're about to stop clapping. Because not only does something like that bring up emotions in us, but if I were to say something like Black Lives Matter, you immediately go, uh-huh, and something happens in you. Because it had to go through your lenses first, and then you interpret it, and that something, that thing that inside of you, when you're just like, what'd he say? That's because it went through your lenses. It went through your gender and your nationality and your race and your education, and you see it through that. All of us wear them. No one's exempt. And that feeling you get when you see the Steph Currys and the Black Lives Matter and the transgender bathroom bill, all that stuff, when you get those feelings in you, you formulate an opinion. You formulate something that gives you a stance on it one way or another. Nothing wrong with that. But opinions are different from wisdom. When he was told he had to either stone a woman or disobey God's law, wisdom brought Jesus to draw a line in the sand and say, he who is without sin can cast the first stone. And when they tried to trap him and ask whether or not it was right to pay taxes, wisdom brought Jesus to say, give to Caesar what is his and give to God what is God's. The people around him during these little events were always, as the Bible put it, amazed. Amazed. And the people were amazed. They were amazed because they just got to see the earth from the cupola. They got to see the earth for just a half second through the eyes of God. And it wasn't Jesus sharing opinions. It was him looking at people and situations and circumstances with infinite wisdom. And that is a perfect example of how being so far back and seeing a situation for all that it is and all that it's worth helps him become so intimate and personal for all of us. Just ask that woman who is getting ready to be stoned by a group of men if Jesus Christ's wisdom wasn't perfectly personal for her. Three things we got to do. The first thing we need to do, this is where it applies. Our first step to being able to be given and acquire the wisdom of God is to notice that you're wearing a pair of glasses. It's to be able to see that there's something that rests on the bridge of your nose and interprets everything around you all the time. So examine your lenses. Take them off and examine how your gender, your upbringing, your education, the time you were born, the generation you were born, the media you consume. Think and ask about how all of that helps interpret the events around you. That's step one to wisdom. We can't go anywhere if we don't realize what our glasses are made of. The second thing I would ask you to do is I would ask you to get hungry and want wisdom. I think I get the vibe sometimes that like people are like, that's not me, I'm not a smart person. It's not something you're born with. It's not even something you really got to work toward. James 1:5 says that if you want wisdom, ask for it and God will give it to you out of his fullness. He's a giving God. He's a gracious God. If you want wisdom and discernment, it's about asking for it. It's not reserved for the elite or certain people. It's for you. It's for you. And if you have any influence over anybody, and if you have a heartbeat, you have influence. If you have any influence over anybody, wisdom is something you want with you. Wisdom is something that you should have as a part of the foundation of your faith. And the last thing I would ask you to do is that as we start this six-week study, I would ask you to read the book of Ecclesiastes. If you're a regular devotion reader, scripture reader, pick up the Bible, start Ecclesiastes. If you never, you're not about that, try it. These are the things that are going to launch us into the study, the first steps of wisdom, of looking at our glasses, of questioning our assumptions. It's open to all of us. So I invite you to get hungry and buckle up for the next 6 weeks. Please bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity on a Sunday morning to hear and listen to your word. And we pray that in some way it transforms our lives as your word promises to do. Give us the wisdom we need, not just as individuals, but as a church, like as a body, you know, as a body of people who are moving forward in your name. We love you. Amen.